But we are so thankful to have you with us today, and we're kicking off a new series called Weird. Here's the thing. Here's what I know. There are few things as liberating, but at the same time as fearful as being different, right? There's something liberating about being different in the fact that, you know what, I don't want to be just like everybody else. I want to be different. I don't want to just be in a rut. I don't want to have to act like somebody else, how they tell me to act. I want to be different. But at the same time, what you will find very quickly is to be different in a world that accepts conformity can be very painful at times. So what we're going to explore over these next few weeks are, what does it really look like in following Jesus to be different or to be weird? And what we do know, that in this world that you and I live, that it is just horrifically, hypocritically, and undeniably not unique. The world is not unique. It does not celebrate uniqueness. What it celebrates are a little different facet of the exact same thing. The world wants you to fit in. The world wants you to be just like the rest of the world. The world wants you to act like everybody else. And what you see, whether it is racial differences, whether it is socioeconomic differences, whether it's denominational differences, religious differences, differences in location about where you live, is that if you truly are different from somebody, you will at some point have to pay a price for that. We're seeing that right now all over the world. We're seeing that in Russia and the Ukraine. We're seeing that in Syria and Iraq. We're seeing it in Afghanistan. We've seen it in our own country, where that if you're really different, you are going to be judged for it. Because the world wants you to conform to a specific type of image. And the question is, will we conform? You know, when you're growing up, and one of the big things in the news for young parents is the idea of what bullying is happening in their schools and in their places where their kids are. You know, bullying is absolutely one of the byproducts of what happens when someone is different. Both from the person who is bullying and the person who is being bullied, it is all about the fact of feeling different and not fitting into some mold. What about at work? We go to work and we're supposed to wear a certain dress code. We go to work, we're supposed to look a certain way. For some of you, if you show up with facial hair, you will be told to go home. For some of you, if you show up with your favorite clothes that you wear on Saturday mornings, you'll be told to go home. At church, we see this a lot, and we've seen this a lot in the last few years, last few decades, and that if you didn't fit the part, you may not be accepted by the whole. And so we had a dress code, and we had to act a certain way, because at the end of the day, as much as we may want to be unique, it is often not worth the price that we have to pay. So what does it look like in a world of sameness to be different? Every one of us has, at some level, a search for significance within our own lives. You know, it cracks me up, and we use Facebook so often because it is such a lens by which we see the life that people are leading. It cracked me up, I don't know, a year ago or so when I saw the first quiz about, you know, which state should you live in? You know what I'm talking about? You take a little quiz and it says, well, you should definitely not live where you're living. Well, that is encouraging, right? You should be living, you know, in some remote place where no one else lives. That's where you ought to live. You know, has anybody gotten that one? Right? But does anybody ever get, you should be exactly who you are? No, you never do. And then these kind of escalated, and it escalated to all kinds of different questions about, you know, what character from Star Wars would you be? You know, some of us were thinking, well, I would be the whoever the first one killed off was. That's who I would be. The first Jedi that bites it, that's me. You know, I'm not good at what I do. And so we start daydreaming about what could it be like. And then they've just kind of escalated, haven't they? And I see them. I mean, my wall, when I look at it, is filled with these quizzes. Which pop star would you be? Which Beatle would you be? Which One Direction member would you be? And then we post it. And we say, oh, I would be. Because there's something in us that wants to be significant, and yet within our lives we don't feel like we are, so we manufacture the idea that we are somehow better than we think we are. Which pop star would you be? Oh, I would be Michael Jackson. Well, that's not good for you right now. But you're not Michael Jackson. You're not Darth Vader. You don't live in California, I don't think. We may have a guest here from California. You are who you are. But there is a drive within every one of us that makes us want to be more. But what you've been conditioned to become is not more, but more of the same, because more is criticized. More is judged. Different is judged. And yet, who really wants to be the same, just like everybody else? Everything in us tells us that we need to fit in, to conform, to be like everyone else. We started Journey. I entered into this fraternity of church planters. And I started wearing what church planters wore, which were graphic tees. I used to love graphic tees, and I'd go into PacSun and get my graphic tees, the largest size that they had, with all the teenagers in there shopping. I wasn't a teenager when this church started, for some of you that didn't know that. And then we'd go to the conferences, and everybody dressed exactly alike, every single one of them wanting to be different from the rest of the mainstream norm, and yet we were all the same. We look at some of the movements of fashion over our world. We have seen the same dynamic. And I don't care how different, how outside of the box you want to be, you will not truly be unique through fashion. You know, lately one of the big trends has been the hipster movement. I really wanted to be in the hipster movement. I'm not built like a hipster. I can't wear skinny jeans. So I am by default out whether I want to or not. And one of the things about the hipster movement is we are different. But yet every hipster looks alike. They all have a scarf. They all have skinny jeans. And if you do drink beer, you drink Pabst Blue Ribbon, which I find so fascinating. They're just now figuring out it tastes terrible. But it was cool. So we drank it. And now they're just getting ready to go out of business because somebody said, you know what? If we're going to spend the money, let's spend something that tastes good. There's no uniqueness there. Another trend we see right now is the athletic trend. And we suck it in and we get a girdle. We pull on our yoga pants and we pull down our tight-fitting shirt. I've just got off the treadmill. You know? No, you did not. You just got out of the fast food line at McDonald's. You did not just get off a treadmill. But yet we wear all these athletic clothes because we want to feel athletic because that's cool. Yet being cool in the world means conforming. You may conform to a different group than another, but when it really comes down to uniqueness, what we find is that there are very few people who are truly unique. And of those that are truly unique, we judge them. Because within us, we feel this need to fit in, and therefore we want everybody else to fit in. See, even though everything within us as we interact with people in the world makes us want to conform, truly deep, deep, deep within our souls, we believe that we were truly created to be different, to be unique. And let's be honest, in the world, to be weird. There's something down in every one of us that says, this just doesn't make sense. But there's a cost for being weird. One of the ways that we kind of socialize growing up in school, and there's kind of, you know, peer pressure, and you know, you want to fit in, and so you learn how to kind of act in the culture that you are. When I was in Fort Worth, I wasn't a kid, but when I was in Fort Worth, I mean, I wore the hat, the belt buckle, the boots, everything. I had it all, and I mean, I looked good. We would go line dancing, which no video of that is available, but we would go line dancing and boot scooting and everything else we could do when we lived there. I still have my hat. I still have my boots. Since we left Fort Worth, I have never worn them again, except for maybe like a character sketch or a video or something. I've never worn them again. People don't wear that here. Now, there's also a group north of here that it is cool in the middle of summer when it is 155 degrees outside to wear cowboy boots and jeans and cut off camouflage shirts if you're a teenage guy. And I look at you and I go, are you nuts? And some of you are like, man, that's what I wore today. What's going on? You know, and you feel unique until you look around at your peer group and you find out everybody else has boots and blue jeans and cut off camouflage shirts on. You see, that's the way the world works. But there's something subtle about the world that tries to convince us that's not how it works. You are being unique. You are being different. But at the end of the day, we're all actually just following along some plan that we really didn't think through because we want to fit in. It's not that we want to fit in. It's just that we don't want to be judged. I want you to know, as you are here today, no matter who you are, no matter what kind of life you have outside of this place, what kind of life you have at work or at school or at home or among your family, I want you to know that you have been made to be who you are, uniquely you, and you are valuable because of it. No matter what anybody says about the way you talk or act or the things that you do in your life, you have been uniquely made to be you. And a lot of us would avoid a lot of hardship and heartache in our lives if we would stop trying to be somebody other than who God created us to be. Because it is there that we find freedom to live life. It's where we find fullness. But at some point along the way, you will have to come to the place of saying, people will not or may not accept me, but this is who I am. And that is a very uncomfortable feeling. Psalm 139 says this, for you, talking about God, formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I want all of you to say this. I don't care if you like to talk out in public or not. Say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Say it. I am fearfully. Say it one more time. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Even on the days that you feel like you're less than everyone else that you know. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Even before I took a breath, you had determined a life I could lead. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Genesis tells us that you are made in the image of God. And while sin entered into the world, and we may not be able to see it as crystal clearly as Adam and Eve could in the very beginning, you were made in the image of God. And God is unique. Not only are you in His image, you as an individual are fearfully or wonderfully made. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are His workmanship, which means He's been working on you. He's made you to be a certain way. He's made me to be a certain way. And as frustrating as that is for my wife at times, she has to take it up with God, right? It's not my fault. I'm weird. It's God. He did it. He put me together, and quite honestly, you knew it before you married me. I'm weird. Maybe she didn't know it all. Maybe I hid a few things from her before we got married. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in Him. He not only has created you and made you, and you are wonderfully made, He has also created for you a purpose for your uniqueness in life. But the world tells you to reject your uniqueness and conform because it doesn't understand it. Does not understand you. Does not understand what God is doing within your life. Does not understand where you're coming from. Guys, this is why when somebody walks into Journey and they look different than everyone else, which really is very difficult to do at this point. We have so many different types of people at Journey. But if they truly are different than anyone else that attends here, that's why when they walk in, we welcome them. We don't look at them like, man, you're kind of, you know, oh. We don't do that. Because we're the exact same way. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You were made by God, and I understand the science behind how people procreate, but still, at our core, that happens because of God's work in creation. You were made by God. So that means that your voice, and some of you are like, oh, I don't sing out loud because I don't want anybody hearing me. Your voice was given to you by God. Well, I don't speak in public because I don't speak so well. Your speech was given to you by God. Well, I've got this accent. Well, if you're from, you know, Alabama, I can't help you. You just need to move. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, we're getting ready to get into college football, so here we go. But the things that interest you. Do you realize God has put a uniqueness in you? The way that you see the world, God has given you a uniqueness for the way that you see the world. God has done that within you. Everything, your quirks, your strengths, your weaknesses, have been given to you by God. And yet everything around you when you live your day-to-day life says ignore that and conform to which... The word weird is very negative for us. And yet, to be honest, when you get down to it, when you talk with someone one-on-one, I find very few people that don't feel weird. We may mask it. We may dress like everybody that we look up to because we want to somehow be associated with them. But deep down inside, there's an insecurity that says conform. And the question is, will we do that? Should we do that? 1 Peter 2, 9, the purpose. You are fearfully and wonderfully made for a purpose. This is, again, I use this all the time. I just love this. When we peel back everything in life, when we peel back everything that it looks like to be a person, when we peel back every priority, everything we could focus on, everything we spend our money on, everything we spend our time on, everything we think about, everything, when we peel it all back, we were created for a purpose, and it is this, that you are a chosen race. In other words, not only are you created by God, for God, uniquely and wonderfully made, but you have been chosen in your uniqueness to be with Him. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Because there is a time for every person to determine whether they want to walk out of the darkness and into the light and see the world through the eyes of God. And once we've seen it, we can't be silent about it. It's not because we want to go out and we want to turn everybody who's not a Christian into a Christian. You know, that is one of the worst motives to share the gospel. The reason that we share the gospel is because we want people to walk out of darkness and into light, walk out of bondage and into freedom, and walk out of this need to conform to a broken, dying, destructing world to a life of fulfillment. That's why we share it. It's not to win an argument. So much of our proselytizing, that's a terrible word, but our proselytizing is about winning an argument, if we're really honest. My argument's better than yours. I'm better than you because I think higher than you. That's how we work. There's that need to feel significant. We tear down other people, not because other people should be torn down, not because we want to tear people down, but because we are so discouraged in our own selves that we tear others down so we don't feel so down ourselves. That's why we do it. When you're a kid and you talk about why does a bully bully? He bullies because he's insecure. He doesn't look insecure. He doesn't seem to act insecure, but they're doing it because they are insecure. But when you're the one being bullied, it's hard to look at them and go, they're insecure. That's why they're doing this. Hard to do that. But that's the reality. Because people tear down others in order to feel better about themselves. That's why it happens. That's why as Christians it's so important for us to show love, because we want to build up people, not tear them down. We all have enough people tearing us down. We go into work, everybody's got that supervisor, right? You can't do anything right in their eyes. I mean, even if you did do something right, they cannot admit it, and so they'll find some kind of error in what you've done. You all have that friend, maybe not really a friend, but you all have that friend who likes to hold you accountable. That's a church word. Hold you accountable. Because for them, that's what it takes to feel significant. Well, what if you break the chain of what it means to be significant in a worldview that says conform to be significant, when God says break out of that conformity and you will truly be significant because that's what I have made you, crafted you for. So that weird no longer is a bad thing. It will always be a bad thing in the world. But in the eyes of God, it is a beautiful thing. Because you have been uniquely made. The decision is an important one to what kind of person you're going to be, who you're going to follow, and what kind of life that you want to lead. This is one of the most important decisions you're going to make within your life. We begin making that decision at a very young age. We look at people, we often look at people that we think have arrived, or people that we think are confident, or people that are liked by a lot of other people, and so we try to be like them, and so we get into all kinds of activities. It's easy in school to think, well, those are the popular kids, and so what do I need to do with the popular kids? We just do whatever they do. And what you find out is down the road a little bit for them, those things that often the popular kids did, they did out of insecurity, and it led to very destructive things in their lives. Let's go to a party. Let's get drunk. It's a very destructive life. And yet if you do that, you'll fit in. That's the way the world works. The question for you is, how will you choose the kind of person that you're going to be? The Bible talks about this choice. It's not an easy one. It's not an easy one for any of us. It's not just, hey, do this and everything will be easy. That's why we have messed up the gospel in the church in the last 30 years, is because we just said, if you'll just ask Jesus to be your Savior, everything will be great and wonderful and shiny, and you'll, you know, just always be happy and never, nothing ever bad will happen. Your car won't break down. You won't have a grease fire in your kitchen. You won't lose your job because God loves you. I mean, do y'all have a grease fire in the kitchen, somebody? Yeah, right. Just bad things that happen. We have this idea that if we just conform, or if we just ask Jesus to save us, we'll never suffer, never hurt, nothing ever will go bad. This is what Matthew chapter 7 says, verse 13. It says, enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. By very definition, this begins with an impossibility for large masses of people to move through it. It's a narrow gate. If you've ever stood outside of a lookouts game trying to get in and everybody shows up at the same time, you're going to shuffle and take your time getting up to the gate before you can get in. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. If we were to change our words a little bit, we would say the wide gate are for those who conform, because the world in mass conforms. And the narrow gate are for those that don't. It's a change in the way we see culture, the way that we see relational dynamics with people. It's the way we interact and interrelate with people. It changes all of that when we understand there's a narrow and a wide way. The wide, easy way is the one that leads to destruction. And so here's what I want to do. For those of you in the room who think, man, I'm weird. I feel weird every day. People don't really even know how weird I am, because I won't let them. I won't let them see it. I won't let them know the movies that I have memorized, every single line in that movie. I won't tell them. I won't do it. I won't show them the things that I do. I understand there's a video circulating of me doing some acrobatic maneuvers that was never supposed to get out, but my eldest son let it leak. That video does not exist, by the way. If you've seen it, it's somebody else. There's this fear of people looking at you and realizing how weird you really are, right? There's a fear in that. And yet there can be a freedom from it as well. Let me ask you this. What if being normal means you're on a path to destruction and being weird is a path that leads to life? What if being normal, fitting in, nobody judges you, nobody says anything bad about it, everybody leaves you alone? What if being normal is a path that leads to destruction, but being weird is the path that leads to life? I want to be weird. I don't want to be normal. Normal is highly overrated. I want to be weird. There are different kinds of weird. Let me just say this right off the bat. There are different kinds of weird. I mean, there is the weird that's good. There is the weird that, let's just be honest, is just weird. I would like to give some examples, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. But, there's some not so good ways of being weird. You know, people that like to interrupt your personal space and get right up in you. You know, it's like you're having a conversation, their nose is right there. That's just weird. I mean, that's not a good weird either. That's just weird. Right? There's a trend now that says you'll be healthier if you never take a shower, or you like take a shower once a year and you don't wash your clothes. Okay, don't do that. Who needs to be that healthy anyways? I mean, come on. Take a shower, wash your clothes. It's a very good thing. There are some things that are just kind of weird. You know, when we look at the Guinness Book of World Records, there's some weird things. So your fingernails are the longest of any human being that has ever lived. Not something to aspire to. You can't open bottles. You can't open cans, a Coke. You can't really do anything. You just have to sit there. That's not something to aspire to. There are some weird things that are weird, but let's be honest that there are some really good ways of being weird in the world. But regardless of whether your fingernails curl around for 5 miles or whether you're following Jesus and you're weird because he's weird, people are not going to accept you. And we've got to learn how to deal with that. We've got to learn how to accept others while being honest about the fact that some people are not going to accept us. If you're going to truly live a life of uniqueness, understand the world will not celebrate your uniqueness. They will not celebrate it. They will do everything they can to make you conform. Isaiah 53:3 tells us that this is exactly the life that Jesus led. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. This is Jesus, who was born to save us and yet has existed from the beginning of anything that has ever existed, was the tool by which God used to create the universe. This is Jesus, and we esteemed him not. And yet we will esteem a 15-year-old pop star who's getting in trouble every day. We will esteem them. We will buy their albums. We will wear their shirts. We will talk about we're their fan. And their life is falling apart, and yet we did not esteem the one who can make a difference. See, that's the way the world works. If you will just be awoken to that, then it will change the way that you view the world. The truth is Jesus was a good kind of weird. These are some of the teachings that Jesus gave us in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you're blessed if you're persecuted. Okay? You're like a murderer if you're angry with your brother or sister. Some of you were like a murderer on the drive here this morning, right? Somebody pulled out in front of you, and it's like you murdered them. Jesus, come on. Did you really see what happened? You would have been mad too. Your relationship with others is just as important as your relationship with God. That's his teaching. Love God, love others. That is strange. He also taught that if you lust after a person, it's just like you're committing adultery with them. Not only should we live sexually pure lives, we shouldn't even lust after people. In this world today, that is just bizarre. You realize that. Some of you who are older and you grew up and it was culturally acceptable to abstain from sex until you got married, it is not culturally acceptable. You are now weird if you are a virgin when you get married. Like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? That's just weird. And yet Jesus said, live a life of purity, which, by the way, extends beyond where we take our physical bodies. It also includes where we take our minds through the internet, through the books that we read. I find it so fascinating in watching the hypocrisy of our culture. And the reason we don't call it out as a church is because we've been called hypocrites for so long that we're scared to death to even bring up the word for fear they'll be throwing it right back on us. But the hypocrisy of the world is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. It's been a lot of what's going on in our country is wrapped around the idea of treating women equally, because we did not treat women equally for a very long time. But yet the same people that will post, we need to change a rape culture, and if your kids are here, you need to talk to your parents about what that is. But adults, I'm dead serious about this. We need to change this rape culture that we've got around us. Women should be able to wear whatever they want. If a guy does something inappropriate, it's his fault, not her fault. And we'll talk about the rights of women, and then we'll talk about how great 50 Shades of Grey is, which completely, completely demeans women. Men, you just need to let me wear it, not look. That's exactly why you wore it. And then you read 50 Shades of Grey and how it's liberating. It's not liberating. Do you see that the world is telling you conform? Jesus is saying you transcend. Be weird for a reason. And recognize that the hypocrisy in the world will lead you to a place of discouragement and depression. And if you're thinking, Mark, I just don't know if that's true, just look around. We live in a world that's falling apart. People who are depressed and discouraged and want to give up. One of the things Jesus taught, he said, turn the other cheek when someone hits you. When I was in school, that was not the rule. I'll be straight up. It was not the rule to turn the other cheek. You're to give somebody your coat if they steal your shirt. Not what we feel like we're supposed to do. If someone says, go with me 2 miles, you're supposed to go even farther. You're supposed to love your enemies. We're not supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to get rid of our enemies, right? Jesus says, love them. Was it to pray for the people who persecute you? If you've ever been under persecution, and I cannot honestly say I've ever truly been persecuted. I can't honestly say I've ever really been persecuted. But if you're truly under persecution, I can imagine wanting to pray for the person persecuting you is just not high on your list of things you want to do in a day. I want you to know that if you're thinking about truly being unique and saying, I want to embrace this idea of being weird and following Jesus, and if Jesus was rejected and not esteemed, I'm okay if I'm rejected and not esteemed. But understand this, not only have you been fearfully and wonderfully made, you're a part of a family that is wonderfully unique, even if the world doesn't celebrate it. The family that you've been adopted into, you are unique, even if the world doesn't celebrate it. No matter what, pursue what matters. And not what culture pressures you into. And students in the room, man, this is where you're living. This is where you'll be. Well, for the rest of your life, let's be honest. But you're really feeling it now. What are you going to pursue versus what do your peers pressure you into? Will you transcend? Or will you try to fit in for fear of being rejected? Let me read this real quickly, and I'm going to finish this morning. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The Message says it like this, same two verses, it says it like this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I would be lying if I said I've reached this level of maturity. I'd be lying if I said, this is absolutely true because I've seen it. I am not immature. I don't respond immaturely to the culture. I am mature now. Just ask my family, any of them, even the little one, you know, they'll tell you. That's crazy sometimes. Sometimes I have to go and tell my kids I'm sorry, and sometimes I have to go tell my wife I'm sorry. There are many times that I look back and I go, why, God, you could have, you know, just kind of taken over for those few moments where I was a real jerk. It's not a place to just hang out, but it's a place to aspire to, a place to let God continue to change us. Let God develop well-formed maturity in us. I would like to, I can say that I am farther along than I was. And as I continue to follow God along the way, I'll get farther along than I am now. Which is the exact same for you as well. I want you to remember these things. Number one, being weird is still a battle at times. But it's worth it. It's worth it for people not to always get it, to be able to walk with God and know Jesus, and to say, I will live my life patterned after Him. 1 Peter describes it like this. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners. That's who you are if you're a follower of Jesus. A temporary resident and foreigner to keep away from the worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors, that even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when He judges the world. Because at the end of the day, while the world wants to conform, there is in every one of us somewhere down deep a desire to be unique. And when they see that in you, they will want it. I want you to also know you will be tempted to fit in at all costs. For some of you, and you are scared to death of being rejected. You will fit in at all costs because the consequences of being rejected are so great. I want you to know you will be tempted, but through God you can transcend that. Last thing I want to share with you is that you are wonderfully made to be truly unique. Don't miss it by conforming to a world that is on the path of destruction. I don't even need to describe the path that the world is on. If you're aware at all about world events, you see the path of destruction our world is in. You don't have to be on the same path. If you're here today and you are struggling because, and I hear what you're saying, and that makes a great sermon, but you don't know where I'm living. You don't know how this feels. You don't know how my stomach just gets a knot and I feel sick because people reject me. Now, I may not know exactly what your life is like. And for some of us, you're like, man, I'm on. Let's go. I'll be unique. I don't care. I know very few people, but I do know some that honestly could care less what anybody thinks about them. There are a few of them. There's not many, but there are a few. And I kind of wish I was that person. I'm not that person. I care what people think about me. But there are a few that really don't. And they're like, man, let's go for it. Let's do it. Yeah. But there's some of you, you're thinking, man, if I don't fit in, I'd just rather die. And I'd just rather be done. And I want you to know you have been fearfully and wonderfully made for a purpose. 1 John 3 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it didn't know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. You are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, when Jesus comes back, we shall be like Him. because we shall see him as he is. This fog that came over us when sin entered into the world will dissipate. The frustrations that you and I face, the mistakes that I make, and I have made some stupid mistakes in life. Things that, as I think back of them, they bring that same sick, gnawing feeling in my stomach that it's the day that it happened. I feel those things like everybody else does. But on the days that it's the worst and the rejection is the greatest, and people just don't get you, they don't understand why you won't participate in the same things that they do. You are children of God. Remember that. You walk with Jesus. And if all else fails, one day this fog will be lifted and we will truly experience what we were meant to from the beginning. That day's coming. That day is coming. As we close out this morning, wherever you are, in your life, in your home, at work, with your friends, your peer group, whether you're developing new relationships or you're still dealing with the same people you've been dealing with for years, will you choose to truly be unique? It's one of the reasons that the church is so important. Church, you see, church isn't important. We've got some fun activities today. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. That's not the purpose of the church. That's the purpose. That purpose of this is for us to have fun together and get to know each other. Purpose of the church is to support and encourage each other as we go through this life on the days that it's hard and we don't think we can make it. That's why it's so crucial that you get involved in either a small group or you get connected with people outside of Sunday mornings. That if you go to lunch with them or you go have dinner together, you have them over to your house or whatever, that you're connected with people at a deeper level than just, hey, how you doing? Good to see you again. I'll see you next week. Why that connection is so important? Because we lean on each other. We need each other. And I will tell you, if you're sitting there going, man, I really want to change and I really want to be different and I really want to be unique and I really want to go against the grain and I want to experience all those things, I will give you one piece of homework to do this week. It will revolutionize your life if you've never looked at it this way. And it is this: and every person that you come in contact with over the next 7 days, encourage them. Encourage them. Find something to encourage them. I know that there's somebody in your life. And when I was a kid, Mom made me do this. If I said one negative thing, she said, "Now tell me three positive things." Oh, man. When you're really mad at somebody, it's hard to think of positive things about them. Let's be honest. But encourage them. Build them up. If you want to begin to be different than the culture, be different than conforming to the world, build into people. Pour into people. See, the rest of the world is trying to figure out what they can get out of you. What happens when we approach the world and say, what can I give to you? Instead of what can I get from you? Approach every person, every relationship, everything you do. If you go out to eat this afternoon or tonight, I hope you don't go out to eat this afternoon. I hope you eat here with us. But if you go out to eat tonight or you go out to lunch somewhere and you have someone who's serving you and they are I don't know what the deal is. I think in Chattanooga right now, every restaurant is horrifically understaffed. I don't know what the deal is. But if you're frustrated because you've been waiting on a table and you want them to know it, what would happen if you said, I'm just going to try to build them up while I'm here at their table? What would happen? What would happen? What happens, guys, kids, if you go to school and you're a teacher and you can't stand them and you decide, you know what, I'm going to try to encourage my teacher. You're thinking, that's just so weird. We don't do that kind of stuff. I mean, we don't worry about them. They worry about us. What would happen if you decided, I'm going to go be different at school? But as if you go to work and that one person who they want you to be fired, I mean, they really want you to be fired, and you just encourage them. If you want to be different, begin with that. Build up. Because love builds up. I want to pray with you guys. For some of you, I know this is more than just a topic or a sermon series. For you, this is a way of life. This is something you've been struggling with for a long time. I just want to pray with you. Because I know that none of us like to be rejected. No one does. I want you to know you don't have to be. You can be set free. You can transcend. You can be transformed. And if we begin to see living a life that looks weird to the world is a good thing, then perhaps we will truly begin living a life of freedom. Let's pray. Father, God, I just thank you that your grace is so full and complete that, the many mistakes that we made, the many mistakes I've made in my life, you are full of mercy and compassion and grace to forgive them. God, I pray that you would forgive us for the times that we have judged others, for the times that we just tear into others out of our own personal insecurities. Just forgive us and just change the way that we see around us. Father, thank you that you are a God who has chosen us, that you are intentional about making us. We're not an accident. We didn't just happen. You purposely have knit us together. I pray that we would follow Jesus even in the times that it's hard. I pray for those that they feel that they have no value in this world whatsoever because they are different. They feel different and they're scared to death for anybody to know how different they are. I just pray that you would let them see the incredible value that they have in this world, the incredible value that they have to you, that you have a calling on their life. You have a place for them to spend their life serving you. God, we are so tempted to try to pretend that we're somebody else or that we ought to be living somewhere else or we should have a better job or we should be famous or whatever. Let our significance not be in our accomplishments on this earth, but our significance to be in our relationship with you. God, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. I ask all this in Jesus' name.